Get ready for a surprise.
It's March 4th, 2009.
This is Huddle Thumbs 21. And I'm Chris Remo.
I'm Nick Brecken.
I'm Jake Rodkin. We win.
Yeah.
We're the winners.
We're the winners.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
We got a podcast for you.
Yeah, tonight. We're back for another week of insightful.
High octane.
Fist crunching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of extreme fist crunching and not melancholy sounding, Chris, we got fucking Cyborg.
We did. We had a. If you listen to our weird news pod blast that we released last weekend,
it was a hidden.
It was, yeah, it was a hidden
there was
treasure.
A secret blast, a hidden treasure.
Yeah.
A secret of the hidden treasure, if you might, temple, you know, whatever. Fucking.
It was gold.
Yeah, next to Big Bird's bones was this pod blast.
Yeah, we talked. We had a mouse that we discussed in great detail, and we're giving it away to someone who drew a cyborg on our forums, because that seemed like a good idea. Also, now we can give away a Steam code for Dawn of War 2, so whoever wins can choose either the mouse or the code, and then we'll give a runner-up. The other one.
Yeah, so if you check out our forums, there will in fact be a new thread about this mouse and Dawn of War.
And you can vote.
You can vote for the best or most deserving cyborg.
Yep.
And that cyborg's owner will win a prize.
Most likely Dawn of War.
Well, you never know. A lot of people have that game because it's totally sweet. True. And you should have already bought it because we told you to.
I told you to.
But, you know... Yeah. Anyway, so you can do that. Go to our forums, forums.idlethumbs.net, and probably by the time you hear this, we'll have a thread up and you can vote on it, and someone will win a sweet prize, two people win totally sweet prizes. Yeah, great. Good job, us. Sweet.
Yeah, so how about those video games?
Yeah, I don't know. How about them? Actually, I just got back a couple hours ago from seeing... League of Legends. Are you guys aware of this at all?
Yeah, this is the Defense of the Ancients spiritual sequel, correct?
Yeah, there. It's a couple of the guys. I'm not actually too... Nick, you're probably more familiar with the history of Defense of the Ancients than I am, because I never actually played the game.
There were a lot of dudes who had a hand in that, but these were
these were some of them, yeah. Right.
That's the sort of trailer title card.
From some of the dudes.
There were a lot of dudes who had a hand in that. This is some of them.
Yeah, the community guy is the same, Pendragon, as he's known. And then I know there are other guys who are the same, but I just don't know all the team. And then one of the development director is actually from Blizzard, interestingly enough. He did a lot of balance work on Warcraft 3 expansion.
Okay.
And I think also like some... World of Warcraft talent tree stuff. And then he went to Red 5, which is that super mysterious, like weird MMO company, Nick, if you're aware of those guys.
Yeah.
Who still haven't said anything. Yeah, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, now he's making this game and it looks really cool. I didn't know, I went to play it today and I didn't really know what I would think of it. Like, usually by the time I go to preview a game, I already kind of. Already sort of.
You've already decided if it's shit or not.
Well, you know, I mean, just being in this job, we're so frequently just deluged with just like press releases and screenshots and videos that it's like you have a basic idea of like what you'll think about it. But
you can put a score on it ahead of time.
Yeah. I was ready to say 7.5.
Yeah.
No, but with this game, since it really is so similar apparently to its predecessor,
it's got like
I
a
hadn't
six.
Played that. Well, it's a mod. I mean, it's not. I always heard it was cool, and actually a bunch of the Valve guys played Dota obsessively. It's really hilarious. If you have anyone on Steam, and you'll like every night those guys play that game along with a lot of other people. And so anyway, I went to play it today. I didn't really know how to think of it, and it was super goddamn fun.
Yeah,
holy crap. The League of Legends one, It's really, I mean, for those who aren't aware of what Dota is, it's basically like a multiplayer action RPG. Is that, do you think, fair, Nick?
Yeah, sure.
You control a hero. It's in the Warcraft. I mean, the original game is in the Warcraft 3 engine. And you have your hero that can level up and get equipment and stuff. And then you fight against other heroes doing the same thing. And it's sort of just really small scale tactical. You only have your one guy. And so it's sort of an even more extreme of kind of that weird action RPG strategy thing that Dawn of War is, but like just taken to the ultimate action RPG extreme of that.
Yeah.
It's just in an RTS engine. Whereas with this game, since it's not a mod, it's a commercial game, it's, you know, less within the boundaries of Warcraft 3 because it's its own game. But anyway, it's really fun. It was super, super cool and like offered a surprise. I was sort of surprised at how much room there was for the tide to sort of constantly shift back and forth. It was surprising to me as someone who hadn't played the original mod that a game where you just control that one guy on your team would actually have that much.
Mm-hmm. What was the actual sort of situation when you were playing this game?
What was the situation?
I mean, like, you know, who was there? What was the setup?
It was a press event. So they, you know, they had a bunch of computers on a LAN.
Okay.
And some journalists and some developers. And obviously the developers were just fucking demolishing people. But I did do way better than the other journalists there because I think most of them don't actually play PC games. No, it was just sort of funny. You could tell because it was like, oh, your health key is bound to the S key. And of course, as soon as I sit down at a PC, my huge PC gaming nerd self, my fingers go straight to the fucking WASD.
Right.
You know, as soon as I am fucking in a computer chair. And so I'm like, I'm on it. Healing now. But no, it was just really fun. A cool game. It took a long time. It was long. I was surprised. Presumably there will be.
So you got your money's worth out of that?
Yeah. I got my money's worth out of this press event.
Sweet. What's the game called again?
League of Legends.
So on the internet, it's going to be referred to as LOL, which is maybe
too
bad.
Yeah, that's
be deliberate. I don't know if you would do that accidentally and then be like, wait a second. Wait, hold up. Our game is LOL.
And our expansion pack, ; close parentheses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. It's interesting. There are a couple Dota games. The Demigods coming out. When is this? When are they planning to release League of Legends, by the way?
This year.
Okay.
They're in a like super limited closed beta right now, and they're going to be like I think really really soon. I don't know specifically when, but it sounded like within you know a matter of weeks, doing a much larger scale beta that will be open. I don't know if it'll be open or closed, but it'll definitely be more open than what they have now, which is just kind of friends and family, like
right.
a few hundred people.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm pretty goddamn excited about it at this point. Actually, I couldn't believe how much fun it was. It seems like there's been a lot of really cool.
How many? By the way, just how many heroes are there? Like, I mean,
there are over six heroes.
Well, it seems like a stupid question to ask, but I mean, right now, Demigod, you know, the the Stardock game, there are only like eight, and it seems sort of limiting because.
Yeah.
In the original Dota, the cool thing about it was that you could, you know, there were just tons of of different guys, and it sort of changed each round
memory,
a lot.
It seemed like there were, you know, 30 or something.
Yeah,
I mean, how many were there in Dota?
God, there were a ton. I mean, I don't even know.
Like more or less than 30.
I mean, there's so many different versions. Yeah, more.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah. I could be lowballing. I don't even know. Could be more than less.
As long as there's more than eight, then it's.
Yeah. No, yeah, there were definitely like
over eight guys. Yeah.
There were definitely at least a couple dozen.
Yeah,
I know that for
sure.
That's
cool.
Because they definitely said the word dozens at least once in that context.
Yeah.
So yeah, there seemed to be a fucking ton.
This seems very aimed at players of Dota, whereas Demigod, I think, is trying to go for that segment of people who have never played a Dota game.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it definitely seems like they're trying. I mean, I talked to the development director and the community manager, and it definitely sounds like they're really trying to make this game Dota just with an actual like tutorial and sort of make it more native to its own engine as opposed to like a mod of something else. And I mean, it's
supposed to like a WoW Dota.
A WoW Dota?
Yes. I mean, no, a Wook 3 Dota.
WoW.
Sorry. It's not WoW.
Wook 3?
Yes.
What are you talking about?
Never mind. I like that you guys... I had never heard that acronym pronounced out loud.
Oh, Dota?
Dota.
Dota.
Wow.
Like,
Goaty.
You don't often hear people... Yeah. When I heard the Dawn of War guys actually refer to Dawn of War as Dao, it kind of freaked me out. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I guess I never would have said that. I don't know. Defense of the Ancients is a really awkward name, though. I don't.
It is.
It's
yeah.
like Defense of the Ancients. Like it's
your option is.
Yeah, but like Dota.
Yeah,
I guess
I'm yeah. a horrible dork.
No, it's fine. Dota.
I probably had never actually said that before today, but now I have. And now I'm
you've been called out
to be yeah. a huge, huge dorky failure in Jake's eyes.
It's fine. No, it's cool. I'll play some Dota.
I'll play a LOL.
I'll play LOL.
It's funny that you say LOL. I always say LOL. I always think of it as like, bleh, LOL. You know, like that.
Yeah, I hear you. There's a drooling man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it is. It was fun. I really look forward to it. I'm going to try to get on the beta because that shit was rad.
Cool.
Sweet. Yep. That shit was rad.
That shit was fucking sweet. Yeah. So, Nick. How about Empire Total
Here
War?
It comes.
You promised.
God damn it.
Yeah, you promised
I heard
goddamn update.
I heard
so
last
how
week.
Is it? What do you think of Empire Total War?
Now that you've completed the game.
I
hate you.
Why? Because
it was so good?
I hate myself.
Because we haven't played enough of it to be able to discuss it with
man.
You?
Oh, man. No. I don't know. I oh, God.
Just lie. Tell them you beat it.
You're so overwhelmed with the quality of the game.
I wanted. I've been waiting so long for this game, and it just never showed up in the mail. So I bought a copy on Steam like 2 hours ago.
So now it's downloading?
Yeah. No, it's not even downloading. You can't download it yet until like 2 a.m.
Owned.
Yeah.
You got owned. Now you got
I'm reading a lot of
like
reviews like a normal, you know, game fan.
What is this?
Like a
getting
fucking
psyched
plebe.
Up for it.
Like, actually, there were a couple
like
interesting things
in
I saw.
Filth of other internet games.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the reviews have been outstanding. I mean, Kieran
so
Gellin's
well
review.
Written.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of the most high quality reviews I have read in a long time. Let me just tell you, the game bullshit. But I mean, I have never enjoyed reading reviews so much.
Yeah.
As
reviews 9.0. Anyway.
I mean, they gave the game a 3, but, you know.
But no, I mean, the reviews, they've been outstanding. Like some of them just, you know, so
that's
glowing that, well, like game of the year type reviews, you know? I mean, just a lot of stunned people, which is really exciting because, you know, if it was just a good game, I probably would have loved it.
You can't wait to be stunned.
Yeah, yeah. But no, there were some interesting things, though.
It got kind of nines, and then there was that negative point, and they're like, I just didn't like how cannons from...
No, it was the naval combat. Everyone was, you know, it was like, you know, glowing review, and then at the very end, well, I don't want to end without, you know, speaking to the negatives of the game, but...
That cannon did not exist in 1768, and I just can't, in good conscience...
Yeah.
Give that point. I got to teach them a lesson.
I actually feel bad. When I dissed the Total War fans, I went back to the forums looking for examples, and I couldn't really find many.
The only post was the only post was by you.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Oh my God!
Wait,
Nick Brecken. This is absolute bullshit. I'm a student of history.
Ratso, fatso, rat.
Shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, what were you?
I've taken 18 classes on colonial warfare. I really must take umbrage with your treatment. Historical era. Grain of assembly. Sorry, please.
Anyway, continue. You were saying something about Kieran Gillen's review or something?
Well, his another... I guess, you know, I was playing Rome Total War over the weekend to kind of get ready.
Yeah, I saw I saw that pop up in Steam like eight times this weekend.
Yeah.
Nick is playing Rome Total War. I'm like, what? Did you...
Nick is sadly
in that other game and just like...
Nick like changed the Steam shortcut so that people wouldn't know he's playing an advanced copy of the game.
Right.
Rome Total War.
Yeah. No, I just... The thing I like about the Total War series is that even though there's no
so
explicit
war.
Story... Well, yeah, that too. But there's no explicit story, but it's just as you progress, and I guess part of it's just the, you know, historical accuracy and kind of like the sweeping, you know,
the majesty.
Yes, the majesty.
The purple majesties is the correct term.
Yeah, I'm putting this all in my review, but anyway, the thing I like about it is that as you're playing each campaign is almost like its own story. Like it just the way that you play the game, it's sort of, you know, you start out as this kind of, you know, meager little, you know, territory, and then you know, all these things happen. There's just, you know, this ridiculous, you know, series of events. And there's so many different points in the game where, you know, the story that you're sort of creating just can completely change, you know, like, and you can always tell too, when you're at this point where, you know, if you don't win this battle, you're completely fucked or,
right.
you know, like, you know, if you pull off this alliance or whatever, but, Actually, Kieran Bregden, the communications director at Creative Assembly.
Kieran. You're talking about reviewers.
Well, no, I was. I was actually referring to Kieran. But
really, okay. He's one of those. That seems like one of those cool developers where even the guys who are the communications director can speak at length about like the simulations in the game and like
he made a post on the Shogun Total War forums, which is actually now just a general Total War forums, but forums. But he made this post that was like. God, it was like 8 pages long, and it was like the detailed line by line like series of events that of his campaign. It was at least like 10 pages long. Like if you pulled it out and just chopped it up into pages, it was just like ridiculously epic. And I was reading it and I was like, this really isn't all that different from, you know, anybody else's campaign.
Right.
And that's just why I love the series so much is that, you know. Every time you play, there you know you could write a story based on what happened, and
then publish it and call it Dragonlance.
yeah, it was funny. I was reading an interview with him on Eurogamer, and one of the questions was just like, "Have you guys ever done like Lord of the Rings? Have you ever like thought of doing like Lord of the Rings Total War?" And it, oh god,
or what did he say?
He was like, "Oh yeah, you know, we all have our favorite, you know, Oh god! Somebody. I think the moderator of the interview was like, you know, what would be really cool is Jurassic Park Total War.
I know. We married the Total War license with the Dino Park Tycoon license.
What about Alien
Jurassic
Total
Park
War?
Total War? Hold
could
on
you
to
do
your
like
butts.
Predator Total War. I think it'd be sweet if you did Blade Runner. Total
the one
War.
I liked was Cold War Total War.
That's actually just, I approve of that.
Yeah. Cold Total War.
Yeah.
Total Cold War.
Oh yeah. Total Cold. Cold War.
Yeah. But you should actually people should check out that interview because there was a good question. It was
it was when he asked if they could do Battlestar Galactica Total War. Yeah.
I still want and he said yes.
Total it's Cold War, Total in, War.
Yeah. Total Edition.
Yeah.
It's like after it won a bunch of awards.
Right.
Total like awards. A white box.
Right.
I'm sorry, the good question was what?
Battlestar Galactica, you nailed it.
It was about historical accuracy as related to sort of like social issues. And somebody was like, you know, how do you deal with, because in medieval Total War, they, you know, they had things like, you know, the Crusades and you could actually jihad against, you know, another territory.
Yeah.
It was kind of interesting.
Islam is the light.
Yeah. That's the sound that actually plays when you,
as your armies march to war.
Islam is the light.
Yes, sir.
Islam is the
We bring a message from our dreaded foes. Islam is the light. What could it mean?
Man, that'd be terrifying.
Sounds like gibberish to me. Sounds like a baby.
The morale of your troops goes down.
Or up.
I love a happy baby.
Oh, that's so cute. That's adorable. I bet he's just a little darling.
Yeah.
And then it kills all infidels, and it's weird.
So as you're saying, Islam is the light.
Yeah. Yeah, Islam is the light. Anyway.
Imagine Total War.
It was, yeah.
I'm sorry. We're being horrible.
Yeah, it's fine. It's good.
Please continue.
I was just
going to
say it was interesting because I never really thought about it, but they had, he was just talking about like slavery because this is now in, you know, the period where, oh yeah, slavery. Everybody shuts up now. You can't say anything about slavery, can you?
No.
Yeah.
Hitler.
Actually, that was his response. He was like, "No, you know, in World War II games, you don't actually, you know, you don't see a lot of like genocide in World War II games, and there's a reason for that." Like, so I mean, I guess he has a point there, but
I guess he does. What?
Yeah. Well, no, the person was asking, you know, is there slavery in the game?
Oh.
You know, and he was saying, well, you know.
That would be weird.
You don't actually, you know, like trade slaves.
No, that's a good point. Okay.
But you know, actually you can become like an abolitionist state and you get some social bonuses, but you have, you know, you lose production. And so, you know, it's sort of.
I mean, colonization did that too.
Yeah, did it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I mean, it was more.
Slaves aren't represented as actual units.
Right, they're not people. Well, no, they're just they're a statistic, a unit, right?
It's their 2/3 of a unit.
Yeah. No, but colonization actually did. It was more explicit. 3/5. Like, you actually 3/5. Chose. 3/5. 3/5, I'm 3/5, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's close. Rounding.
Nick is, right. is well familiar.
Yeah. Anyway, so colonization does something?
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. It was just an adjunct to that. But yeah, but no, that's a good point, though. I mean,
the Hitler theorem was like, you know, you don't see people like slaughtering Jews in World War II games, and there's probably a good reason
that
for that.
Kind of
but
horrible.
Then I thought, you know, yeah, I don't know.
No, it's
then I thought, hey, you know.
No, I mean, I think that, yeah, that's a pretty reason. That's actually a pretty good snappy gamer comeback.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well done, Kieran Brigden. No, that guy's cool. I did a long talk with him on a boat, and it
was, I was on
candlelit.
The boat.
it was great. Let me tell you. No, it was on a ship during a mock battle. Nick was there too.
You told me about that.
Yeah, and it was just the interview was a fucking. It was a great interview, except the recording of it was a total disaster. It was just like, fucking cannons in the background and like fucking waves breaking and
journalists getting like run through.
And, it was pretty preposterous. I should have printed it out to read, but it was literally I got the transcript back from the transcription people, and it was like my question was so Kieran, when working on Inaudible, it really seems like you guys take an inaudible approach when you're trying to execute inaudible. Would you say that's true? And he's like, yeah, actually, I think that's a really good observation. Basically, what we inaudible is, and then, but really, inaudible has been a great partner with inaudible. Like, it was literally every single actual meaningful word.
Right? Your interview was weirdly redacted by the military.
Yeah. like every actual noun was gone. It was pretty hilarious. It got better after a while because at the time I thought, God, I should really be fucking making sure he's really talking right into this mic. And so it got a little better. But the first, like, 25% of the interview was just comedy gold. It was...
Yeah. I remember thinking as I was, like, hauling up the jib that you're going to have a hard time, like, transcribing that. But anyway.
But it was a good interview. I mean, we talked about some of that same stuff just in terms of, like, if you're making a game about revolution, what do you do to try to model, like, the factors that would lead a... particular society or colony to want to revolt, like what all factors in that, and how do you actually represent that in an algorithm in a way that's not just totally transparent? Like, it was
the
cool
first
stuff.
The first 10 minutes they play back someone's really shitty playback, and then you rise up against that horrible guy.
Yeah.
They play back my game,
Jake's game. But it's like a ghost run,
right?
You see all the little dudes running around and just all dying, and
right?
Oh, that sucks.
Then, ugh.
Yeah, no, but it was cool. It's the kind of stuff that I always kind of associated with kind of like MicroProse and Maxis and all those like cool old PC studios that just like made weird games that tried to model all that crazy shit all the time.
Yeah.
And it's pretty awesome. That's a cool like weird part of PC history
like
that now only exists.
Shadow government or whatever.
A few, right? Like only a few developers do that stuff anymore. But it's cool when they do, like these guys. And I'm glad it's actually being well reviewed.
Oh man, yeah, it's been pretty crazy. I'm gonna probably stay up till 2 a.m. tonight. But yeah,
oh, yeah. You think you're gonna have time to actually download that?
Actually, no, it's 15 gigs. So yeah, by the time it's done, that'd be.
Are you preloading it?
You can't.
Owned.
There's no preload.
Totally owned.
Yeah,
you got fucking owned.
Owned by Steam.
Owned by Steam.
God, it's amazing how many people hate Steam still. Like,
really?
It just blows me away.
The
just
same
surrounding
people?
This game.
Is it the same guy for like 5 years? It's like, oh, I wanted to just get.
That's what it sounds like.
That
yeah.
Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Kind of depressing. But.
Well, I mean, it would be nice if they preloaded, especially at least things that were done.
Yeah, I mean,
that
is.
You know what I mean? It's one thing if the publisher just puts it up on there. Just sort of day and date, but it's not actually integrated. But I mean, if you actually have your keys working with Steam and. Seems like that's the least you can do because you're guaranteeing someone's not going to play it until
the bitch of this is that the retail copies can play it right now. Like,
oh, really? So they're not doing the full integration?
No, it is Steamworks. They're just for some reason there's a delay.
So
there's a different authentication time for between retail
sucks.
And Steam. Yeah,
that's like a kick in the balls.
Yeah, it is a kick in the balls. But yeah,
yeah, that's too bad.
In your balls,
Nick's balls have been kicked.
Yeah,
by
yeah.
Steam.
Oh snap!
I hate Steam.
They
kick
Man,
me in the
really
balls.
Weird how people hate Steam still. I fucking hate it. I hate it.
Anyway,
Steam.
Steam's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Wait until they kick you in the balls.
We should take a break.
Sure, let's do that. Time for a break. A break time.
Steam will kick you in the balls.
Time to take a break.
Just gotta get the last word in here.
Break.
Balls.
Break.
Balls.
Ball Buster! Video game!
Nick Brecken has been reading from the Akira Blu-ray book. Let's listen in.
I know, like, this is...
He won't tell you what it is. He won't read from it.
Well, that was a perfect... This thing is, like, so long. Hold on.
You found it in, like, a second. You're like, I'm just going to open this book.
Well, all right, yeah. The subtitle of this section is called Hypermedia That Activates the Fundamental Brain.
That's a section? That's a subsection?
Yeah, it's a subtitle. At the end of the long road, the Blu-ray of Akira stands as a finished product that, when viewed with the appropriate playback equipment, has the proven ability to activate the fundamental brain through the hypersonic effect, making the sound and video feel more beautiful, pleasant, and moving. And then there's a little graph.
Does it explain, what is it, the hyper what? The hypersonic effect?
The hypersonic effect.
The mass effect.
This is something that they've coined.
Remind me to talk about Mass Effect.
Apparently, this is something that they just created.
I like that it's the hypersonic effect. Like, that is such an incredibly classic scientific thing. Like, that's even beyond sort of weird sci-fi bullshit. That really sounds like something you would see in like a 70s
right.
documentary. That
viewers will begin to perceive
you.
The hypersonic effect, exactly. And then just like a weird like sonar,
or like a Moir pattern is right. Like shown on the screen, like.
Right. Well, yeah. Sort of a synthesizer, like, weirdly reverbs at
right.
you.
Yeah.
A media first for Japan and the world. At our research lab, we came to the academic conclusion that hypermedia content should be held to the following two standards. Content verified by standardized testing containing signal rich in specific ultra-high frequency components that exhibit a complex and non-stationary structure far beyond the 20 kilohertz limit of human perception of sound, capable of producing a hypersonic effect, should be branded with a hypersonic mark.
This is just the Pepsi logo.
This is the little booklet that comes with the DVD.
It's a Blu-ray.
Can they explain what this is? Like, this is amazing.
This is something that they came up with, apparently.
We hired Ken Kutaragi to remaster the Akira Blu-ray.
Yeah. Apparently, sound that the human brain, that humans can't perceive, actually activates brain waves.
Is this like those sounds that if you're under... like, you know, 23 or whatever. Right. Like,
it's just the mosquito sound.
Yeah. You know what? It really actually depresses me because someone on the Shack was talking about that recently and I couldn't hear it.
Oh, really?
It freaked me the fuck out.
I heard
out.
That. I'm that like, same sound.
There is a thing, like a noise coming out of my computer speakers and I can't hear it even if I turn it.
Yeah,
like, that freaked me out. It was like a scary thing. I'm like, what else am I not hearing?
You're not hearing the whole audio scope of Akira Blu-ray.
Hypersonic effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought this Akira Blu-ray, and now I'm not fucking getting
it. It just sounds like a regular Blu-ray.
It just sounds like the movie that I bought. God damn it.
Well, it's supposed to,
also,
though. You're not supposed to hear
want
it.
To, like,
I mean,
is this like
the MSG of sound, I think, actually.
it may want to find out if there are any kids who live near me, and I can just, like, record this sound onto a laptop and take some speakers and just put it up in front of their door and just crank it. And, like, their parents, I guess, would probably not be able to hear anything.
Unless their parents are me.
Oh, can you hear that thing? Oh,
yeah, I can hear it.
You ass. Now I just feel...
Only special adults can hear that.
I have terrible hearing.
Yeah. Nick is engrossed in the hypersonic effect.
Nick has just become completely enraptured by the hypersonic effect. Any more juicy fucking quotes here?
Well, it's just stuff you can't hear, but
I just don't know.
It's like one of those happy birthday cards where when you open up the booklet for Akira, there's a little chip in there that plays this tone.
But in this case,
none of us can hear it. It's,
you know,
activating
what's funny?
Brainwaves,
when you describe that for some reason, and the hypersonic effect, I imagined opening a birthday card and just hearing like an entire song played out of orchestra hits.
Like on the keyboard?
Right.
Oh, we just sounded like morons right there.
Sorry.
This is a weird podcast this week.
Do you have an orchestra hit sample?
I do, yeah.
You want to just sneak that in here?
Remind me, yeah.
Holy
happy
shit.
Happy birthday.
All right. It's listen to that, guys. Can you hear it? It's the hypersonic effect.
This guy says that we're going to have to all get new speakers because a whole new film sound culture will open up before us.
Does this end with signed, like, Mike Matthews of the Hypersonic Corporation?
No, this is the I think this is the sound director of Akira.
Our website has a store.
We're all going to undergo a transition to the hypersonic age.
Sadly, this actually is just
this
a thing.
This was actually written in character from an Akira.
That's what it sounds like.
You're all going to have to buy new TVs because the hypersonic effect is just the thing where it puts a red light on your wall.
It actually makes your kids have seizures. Pokemon had the hypersonic effect, but it was considered too damaging.
Dogs hate this, so please make please remove dogs.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is I remember watching Akira on DVD and being really annoyed because the score sounded like it had like clicks or like high pitched like annoying sounds.
Yeah, but if you had a real sound system.
Now I realize that maybe that shit was just hypersonic.
You were kind of getting the fringes of the hypersonic effect.
Right, I hadn't hit hypersonic speed.
Your brain was responding by being annoyed.
It's kind of like how a cube is only one dimension of what? Like a 4D, like a hypercube.
Right. No, yeah.
You know, it's kind of like how a cube is only one dimension of a hypercube.
you
want to back this one up? How a square?
No.
Is
I know
like,
the ninth dimension, right? The nine dimensions represented by right, and then there's the third dimension, which is the cube.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
And then the fourth dimension is the cube, but in
right, exactly, yeah.
It's the cube that makes your brain deflate,
explode, right?
Yeah,
hypersonic.
Then they made a video game out of it. Yeah. We talk about those.
Oh right.
Yeah.
Woo!
Anyway,
this is our fourth dimensional
the
podcast.
The hypersonic effect reminded me of Mass Effect, which is a video game.
Oh, right.
The sequel to which just announced the hypersonic effect.
Hypersonic effect. Yeah.
It's Mass Effect, the hypersonic effect, in the tradition of Starfighter, Jedi Starfighter.
Or yeah.
Jedi Knight, Jedi Outcast, Jedi Academy. Another classic. Mass Effect, hypersonic effect.
Mass Effect, hypersonic effect? That sounds like some weird like trip hop aliases of DJs or something. Anyway, Mass Effect
2.
I've been meaning to talk about Mass Effect for a while.
1. Whoa, but 2 is the news.
Well, 2 is the news. Yeah, that's true.
Oh.
That's also a slogan.
They announced Mass Effect 2.
Anyway, whatever.
So, yeah.
And that reminds you of Mass Effect 1.
Yeah. Which
I just wanted to talk about the name Mass Effect actually kind of like when
you, okay. Well, when you not said, the game, just the yeah.
Well, sort of. I mean, maybe I'll have something else to say, but when you said like the hypersonic effect, like I really like stuff like that, that weird sort of enigmatic side of science where frequently you get stuff that actually is named that, but you're like, who the fuck like
right, no, I know what you mean.
Seriously? Like this is rad that you decided to, like the hypersonic effect, this probably is not a real thing.
Event horizon,
the DVD.
Right, the event,
right, the event horizon.
Terminal
that's badass, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Stuff like that is totally sweet and it's actual stuff. And I remember when they announced Mass Effect and they called it like the trailers did a really good job of presenting the suggestion to me that this game would exist in a universe where something called the Mass Effect
right
is treated with sort of a certain
gravity.
Yeah, exactly. And because I remember I was at a preview event or not a preview event but like an E3 little demo thing basically, and they were showing the game. It was really really early. They had the trailer with that crazy awesome synthesizer music, that stuff that really does sound like what I was trying to get at earlier with the 70s.
Yeah, like 70s of sci-fi, yeah, kind
exactly.
of cool
just
vibe.
That weird like warbly like airy echoey right. thing, and it's like Mass Effect, and I'm like, crazy, what is Mass Effect, what is that? And the guy's like, it's probably not what you think. Actually, it actually refers to a specific scientific property in the game. It's the Mass Effect. It's sort of the like spatial relationship or what have you that allows like matter to travel at this certain speed. I think they've made this bullshit up, but you know, at this certain speed, and that leads to like fast travel that allows these ships
it's the spaceship
right, but
the hypersonic effect,
yeah, exactly, but I don't really care about the actual sort of technical stuff they invented to support that,
right,
but I really like the idea that instead of just being like, oh, okay, it's warp travel, whatever, I like the idea that this game might actually treat
right, it might,
some
it's like
element
it's about a culture that is sort of just perfected this weird crazy science.
It's very like Heinlein or something.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But in reality, then the game comes out and it's just like, oh, you can fucking zip around to any fucking star system.
We got the Mass Effect
like,
button here.
Exactly. Oh, turn on the old Mass Effect. Yeah. There you go. Punch it.
Was it actually mentioned?
M-E.
I'm sure someone said punch it at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really...
Which would never be said if they were really respecting the Mass Effect. Please.
But yeah, all that early stuff for Mass Effect does make you wonder if just somewhere the tone of the game just got away from them, and they just sort of
It became a much more typical.
I mean, I think that does happen when you're working on a project, whether it's like when I'm designing something like art or a game, or like when you sort of have been writing for the same outlet for a while, you're sort of like, oh, this is what that is, and what your mind sort of thinks. Like, this is what Mass Effect is. After like six months,
it becomes more routine to you,
right? Yes. And you sort of. I wonder if that did happen on that game. I'm sure that happens on a boatload of projects where you have this great, really focused idea, and then a couple of the sort of easiest to acquire assets from that grand idea sort of just fall into the sort of default three things that you knock out every time you make a new piece of content for it, and then you look at it at the end and it's like, oh, I guess I made that. That wasn't quite what I was going for there.
Yeah. But, you're right. and who knows? I mean, a BioWare game is such
right.
Any BioWare game is a project on such a massive scale that it's hard to, you know what I mean? That Jake just gave me a little smirk there. it wasn't intentional.
Jake's the pun.
But you know, those games are so enormous that you do. I imagine it would be hard to sort of carry that specific, a weird vibe like that. It's not a very common vibe, but I really was hoping that's what they're going for. To an extent, I'm just sort of imagining. Like, I think it'd be cool.
Well,
if
I think
did this.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it was that. I mean, you know, I thought it was going to be more grounded in, you know, not reality, but at least, you know, closer to reality. Whereas the actual game was, you know, space aliens, and you know, it seemed very Star Wars
the fiction aspect.
And there's ancient
evil. It's the fantasy.
Yeah, it seemed like the thing that made it science fiction was supposed to be, at least when I early on in hearing about Mass Effect, I thought that was going to be what was sort of fresh, both to me as the player and to the people in the universe.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly,
but instead for the people in the game, it's just. It's routine.
Well, it's just like it was the classic thing where each of the alien races just represents a different archetype of humans. It's just like, oh, these are the angry aliens. These are the quiet aliens. These are the aliens who look exactly like hot human females, except technically they're asexual. Coincidence? Interesting. So that stuff where I'm just like, ugh, I don't know. And what's funny about, despite the fact that all that stuff about Mass Effect disappointed me, I was talking to Steve about this the other day. There's something about that game that was still really solid and appealing and robust in a way that a lot of BioWare games age faster. Like, even if they're really good games that you can still go back to and appreciate.
Well, that's a result of the Mass Effect.
I don't know. And I've seen this echoed on forums too. I've seen a lot of people be like, man, I was thinking about Mass Effect recently. I'm going to go back and I'm just going to play that for a few hours. And I've had that same exact sort of tendency myself. And it's, I don't know what it is, but it definitely makes me excited about the sequel. But I do simultaneously wish they had gone for more of that first, because I just don't know very many games like this where they would have actually treated it like humanity is actually trying to come to grips with this crazy thing they've discovered and this fucking universe full of crazy shit, instead of just like, well, zip along to the spaceport, gonna deal with these aliens and talk to these dudes and
you know. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of wish that game hadn't been about saving the universe.
Yeah, same here.
I mean, to me, that's sort of when it became very typical.
Saving the universe.
I know, yeah. It's just at that point, I'm kind of like, you know.
I mean, that's something you and I have talked about a lot, is that just in all genre fiction, it's so easy and lazy and disappointing when, like, instead of it just being about regular people who, like, have encountered this amazing thing, it's like, you're a regular person. But you're the chosen one. You're gonna save the galaxy, or like your friend who's a regular guy.
You know
he's
what?
A wizard. Like, oh,
you know what that
stop.
Game? Yeah,
stop it! Why is everyone a wizard?
Yeah.
Free Space 2,
a fucking space wizard.
Right.
The wizard.
You're turns out the parents you never knew, they were the king and queen of space.
Yeah. The king and queen of space.
Can't they just be about regular people doing incredible things?
Or even
why do you have to be gifted?
It's not like it has to be The Sims where you're fucking balancing your budget.
Right.
It's like people can, I mean, fucking stories have been told about people doing fucking crazy shit that doesn't involve magic.
You would think for all the people who burgle The Lord of the Rings and aliens,
right?
You'd think they would look back at the fact that those stories caught on at first, probably because Frodo or whatever. Ripley? I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
Like, she's not a fucking space marine. He's not, like, right. a mage. Yeah. They're just dudes.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
and if those guys were like, I'm a super cop, it would be like, no one would watch those movies.
Ripley, super cop.
Well,
yeah. Oh, there
RoboCop's
you go.
A regular dude who then becomes a RoboCop. And he doesn't like it, though. I don't know. I mean, that movie actually is interesting.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
The second one, maybe not so much. But games seem to get everything except the part that actually made it interesting in the first place. And it's like, wait, what if it was Lord of the Rings, but you were the ultimate warrior who could easily get the ring from the beginning?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Anyway.
I was just going to bring up Free Space 2 as an example. Like, that game has a very similar overall arc in the sense that it's about, you know, an alien race that's coming to destroy everybody. But you're playing as, like, you know, just this random dude. Like, there's no, you know, you're just a guy in, like, a squadron, and all this shit's, like, happening around you.
Yeah.
But you're not, like, the guy who's going to save the goddamn universe, you know? It's just, you know, the stuff is happening, and you just sort of, you know, you get it in bits and pieces in your missions, but you're not, you know, directly involved in the saving of anything. And, you know, I mean, even like the overall, like at the very end of the game, you know, there's a huge event, but it's not conclusive, and it's not, you know, it's just not a giant cliche, I guess. I mean, it is like the concept
but
is, but
don't you eventually sort of like awaken a, like an ancient mystical power within you that,
right. Or, you know, you find out that sister is the princess or, you know. No?
I'm pretty sure you find an ancient artifact that allows you to absorb the long dormant spirit of a great god, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, okay, that's what
that was Free Space 2.
I played that game, so I was yeah. just, you know, I remember.
That's,
yeah. Yeah, but no,
actually,
that sounds
actually
pretty
kinda
fucking
rad. Yeah.
Was there a turret?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
There you go. Get all the bases covered. Yeah, but no.
But you know, it's the mystical turret of
the chosen turret.
The ancient
only
turret.
Only one man
of,
can man this turret.
Actually, that describes a lot of games. Only one man has the huge waypoint that materializes in front of his face.
King of turrets.
And constantly nags him to get on that goddamn turret. It's fucking you.
Anyone else seeing this huge arrow?
Am I going crazy or something? Get on the turret. Man, now you're telling me to get on the turret?
Run to the arrow. Wait, did you guys...
You are Gordon that? Turret.
Man, sorry.
Gordon Turret.
That squad mate...
Go, Mr.
He
turret,
died
go!
Like 6 hours ago. No, he's telling me. He's telling me to go to this dot in the circle. No, dude. Anyway.
Wait, I took off my crazy navcom thing. I still see it. Jesus Christ. I think I'm going crazy.
Yeah.
That happened.
That does happen.
Yeah.
In every game.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then you blow up a dude.
You do. But yeah, Mass Effect 2 is in development. In fact, BioWare just opened up a new team within EA.
New can.
God, which EA studio?
Montreal.
Montreal. EA Montreal to assist BioWare's original Edmonton studio do it. I don't know. I mean, for all the shit I piled on Mass Effect, I really did think... I played through the whole thing, and I would like to see the sequel do more of the stuff that the first few hours of Mass Effect did. Like, I really thought, like, without question, the first... For me, it was, like, 5 hours. For most people, it was probably a lot fewer than that. But I spent, like, 4 or 5 hours on the initial space station part of that game.
You were so psyched about it, you just kept walking around?
Yeah, yeah. Because there were all these people who had crazy problems they wanted you to solve, and it was, like, actually, like, doing it in the classic sort of Western RPG style... of there being all these cool things, like all these ways you can subvert them.
RPG,
yeah, like if a guy asks you to deliver a thing, you can either deliver it, or you can not, or you can just shoot the guy you were supposed to give it to. Like, it's really cool. There's all these contingency cases for stuff you can do, and a lot of these little storylines intersect, and they're all optional to the extent that you want to do them. And it was really awesome, and it made me really... There are very few games that actually come out that are like that these days. I mean,
and the first 2 hours of Mass Effect came out.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was really psyched about it. And then I there was some of that stuff later on in Mass Effect, like on the ice planet and stuff, but,
sweet.
Yeah, I know.
The lava planet.
Yeah.
But the beginning was the part that really resonated with me for some reason. And also that was before it turned into, there's an ancient evil that you've got to kill. So, you know,
it just seems like the second the giant plot kept pushing everything forward, it felt a little like you're being rushed. I don't know. I have a feeling that the sequel probably will do more of the other thing.
hope so.
No, I mean the bad thing. The bad thing. Yeah. Yeah,
I don't hope so.
No, yeah,
it's not what I hope.
That's actually that's generally once you've fallen off that cliff in genre yeah. fiction,
yeah.
like
that's what I mean. Yeah.
I mean, extreme cases in point: Star Wars, The Matrix. Yeah, like yeah. I mean, those are obviously the examples that are cited all the time. But holy crap. Yeah. At that point, everyone knows each other, and you all have a shared history, and every right. single person,
yeah.
even the guy who was, like, known for being the novel token character who didn't have crazy powers, suddenly, like, breathes in mystical dust and gets blue eyes for the sequel.
Yeah. Because yeah. the guy playing him, like, renegotiated his contract right. was like, look, I'm not going to play this stupid character anymore unless you give me powers.
Right.
I want to be a chosen guy. Me, I'm the one.
Yep. Yeah. So Mass Effect 2, blue-eyed guy. He'll inhale some dust.
Yeah. I look forward to that.
Yeah. Speaking of sci-fi games, Tabula Rasa, right?
Oh, yeah, Tabula Rasa. Yes. Yeah.
Terrible, of terrible
game,
segue.
Speaking of a game where, not really that terrible, because, like, in the introductory cutscene, there's a bunch of humans, like, in yes. houses, and then it's like the aliens came, and we discovered the power
yes.
that's been in us all along.
Yeah.
And they have glowing hands and shit, and it's like, yeah. oh, good job, guys. Like, seriously? Like, I guess you did that.
I think they spent, like, $20 million on that opening CG and probably, like, half of that on the game. Yeah. That's what it seemed like, anyway.
But, it was... I was also really offended by the, not offended, but just like offended in terms of how facile it was. The little thing in the introductory cutscenes where it's like, we never saw it coming. We were too busy watching reality TV and chopping
oh, yeah, I know.
Subscription
yeah.
drugs.
And grinding in MMOs.
Like, oh, really? Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Too busy doing right. these things to like detect the presence right. of a fucking alien.
Yeah,
alien.
Right.
I would have been.
We should have known.
Out, I would have been like, out there with my fucking crazy right. Supersonic effect or whatever. Like, yeah.
That one that guy shit. In the rocking chair with yeah. the shotgun, he saw it.
He saw it coming.
The rest of us were collecting yeah. pelts.
We all yep. learned from that man.
All the astronomers, yeah, yeah. playing WoW. Asleep at the chair.
It just seemed like such a lazy way to make a social point. It's like, come on.
Yes.
Come on now, seriously.
Anyway, long story short, it's closed now.
Right.
Yes.
That, anyway, all that being said, as far as MMOs go, it seemed like a pretty fun one, actually. I don't know. Like, from what I've heard...
Too bad.
It had some good ideas.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, it's pretty good.
I'm just saying, like,
from
what I heard when it launched, it was pretty uninspiring, but it seemed like by the time it shut down, it seemed like they'd actually... I don't know. Built it up a little bit.
It was kind of crappy still, but
really,
yeah.
Had you played?
I actually thought some of it was inspiring at first. I mean, there were some good ideas going on there. It just didn't.
I like that
there
I could just run around and jump and shoot all the time. Like,
yeah.
I like that I didn't yeah. have to stand. No, seriously, I jump yeah. like 100% of the time in games, and I like that in this game.
I remember when we were playing WoW. In fact,
yeah,
I could literally just jump around the entire time and shoot a gun. So that was
yeah.
pretty cool.
It did that well.
But yeah, I was in there for the last 2 days, basically, of the game. I registered an account. I downloaded the client and registered an account on the second last day.
And then you just griefed people the
I
whole
went
time.
In, yeah, I couldn't help it. I went in, and I'm like, hey, what's up, dudes? Brand new to this game, but it seems pretty sweet. I like that there's guns and stuff. I really think it seems pretty sweet compared to WoW, which is all, like, elves. So yeah, like, I'm pretty new, but it seems pretty good. Like, what do you guys think about this game? I'm glad they're doing this free trial right now. And it was just me being a douche for like 4 hours on Friday. And people are like, I really don't understand how you could not possibly know. I mean, how could you be so misinformed? And I'm like, I don't know, man. It was free. The website. And if you go to the website, it still says, it's a great game. They took away Richard Garriott's name. On the
yeah.
webpage.
It's no longer Lord British's Tabula Rasa.
Yeah. But actually, eventually, I started feeling bad about being an asshole because...
you imagine
you guys
Richard Garriott crying.
No.
Well,
Richard Garriott crying in space. Like, floating in space.
Richard Garriott looking down on Earth, a lone sparkling tear.
Yeah. But mainly
drips
because,
onto the face mask of his spacesuit.
Yeah.
The inside of it.
Turns into
I
a
can't
crystal.
See
That's his crystal
my tears.
His crystal growing out of his tears.
Oh man, Richard Garriott. I can't even imagine making so much money off of computer games that you can afford to just at the drop of a hat be like $30 million. Never see that money again. I'm gonna spend that for a few days in space. I mean, it's cool that he could do yeah. that and like did it. But
do you
like,
think he was logged on during the closure of Tabula Rasa?
as General British, just sort of like
he used to log on and do events.
It had been more than 3 months since he logged on, so he started out as a level 1. You're right. Account got cycled through.
Oh,
come on! He's trying to. Can someone power level me? I really.
The office is like totally empty because they're all. Yeah, that'd be sad.
No, but the reason I stopped doing this the goofy shit is just mainly just because actually people were actually responding with like complete sentences and sort of trying to be helpful.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well.
It was actually, this MMO has a community that types and cares. Yeah,
it actually was a decent community.
It actually made me really surprised because the only MMO I've played for more than 6 hours is World of Warcraft, which I played for a couple months. And Jesus Christ, the general chat in that game was
do you think
a wasteland.
The average age of Tabula Rasa was probably higher. I mean,
if you're
a game from the guy who made Ultima, you're either going to say, what? Or I'm old and I'll play that game. So, I mean, you're going to get the complete sentence crowd with that advertising campaign.
No, it's true. I mean, I was definitely shamed enough by their mature behavior to stop being a jerk myself. And so then I just started playing it for Friday night, basically, until I had to stop because it's an MMO. And then, I mean, like at a certain point, it's like, all right, I'm just fucking killing
grinding.
A million animals. But and then on Saturday, I logged on. It was crazy how different it was on Saturday. On Saturday, it was just like explosion of just madness as people were like, fuck, when's it going to start? Like, when does the thing start? Should I have to go somewhere? Shit. Can someone level me up? Holy shit. How do I get to the place? Mods were giving out free level 50 upgrades and shit. It was crazy.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah, it was weird. It was cool of them. I mean, the mods were getting into it. The mods were sending fucking all your base messages like to the entire server and shit. It was pretty good.
The end of this game was just basically the sort of antagonists of this universe just destroy Earth and then they turn the server off, right?
They just spawned a bunch of level 50
humanity
dudes.
Loses.
Yeah, the mods played as like super crazy epic enemies and just fucking spawn camped the humans. It was hysterical. Like, they literally would just like go right up to the sort of hospital where you respawn and just fucking stand there and stomp on people like as they spawn. It was pretty fucking fun.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's the sort of thing that you actually sort of hope would happen before an MMO gets shut down. I'm just like, wouldn't it be great if just for a day the mods just turned it into what you think it should be? Yeah,
they do that in World of Warcraft occasionally, actually. Like, before expansions come out, they have events where that like crazy shit like that
it's
happens.
It's like before they open a new freeway where they let everyone walk and roller skate all over it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, and the Matrix Online was like built around stuff like that. Like, they had a writer and, you know.
Well, wasn't Galaxies 2? Like, you'd see Darth Vader just like hanging out.
They still have a guy who plays as Darth Vader, as far as I know.
There was the story about the group of people who role played as stormtroopers and with like.
Than the Tabula Rasa guys. Like, the guy who still plays Darth. He's like, he's played Aladdin at Disneyland.
I'm so tired.
That one thing made me happy about Galaxies. I read some, it was like the MMO equivalent of a human interest story about a bunch of people who would role play as stormtroopers and drill and stuff, and LucasArts finally like caught on to them doing that, and then they just landed Darth Vader in the middle and he's like, good work, and then he just leaves. It's totally awesome.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's
like incredible. That's pretty great.
That is pretty good. I mean, that's pretty fucking great.
I approve of this. What?
Carry on.
See you.
He's out, homies.
Yeah. I don't know if they had voice. Yeah, James Earl Jones. They got Chad Vader.
Everyone got into the act.
George Lucas showed up
to do mocap. It was amazing.
Yeah. Anyway, so you were there when humanity fell.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I don't know. It was an interesting experience. It was like a combination of sort of genuinely like affecting while being completely goofy and also just plagued with technical problems also, like, which has introduced like an entirely other weird out of character element to
it. Like, this game was never built to do this.
It was
literally everyone presumably from every server came in, like, because the servers went down like cascading, so the West Coast server or the East Coast
were people saying that was like East Coast is offline.
scramble.
That was like 6 hours prior, but it was
jumping
by
ship.
The time the last server was shutting down, it was just like presumably everybody who still had an active Tabula Rasa server on there. It was just the mods actually ended up splitting it up more into
they
like,
instanced you
which was a good call, and I don't know, it's pretty crazy. It was worth observing.
Yeah. It's cool that they actually did something. Because, games like Asheron's Call 2, as far as I remember, they just one day they flipped the switch.
Actually, you also frapsed this. So if you guys want to check it out, you can go to youtube.com/idlevideos and watch some of this stuff.
Well, you can watch the... Oh, yeah. Actually, there's a video of just some random shit. There's in the video of a zoom in on a chat.
Yeah,
those are both like the last 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah, so if you want to watch the frapsing of Chris Ramo embedded journalist, you can check it out on YouTube.
Yeah, I was writing, and I wrote a piece on Gama, if you go to Gama Sutra or search for Tabula Rasa's, go to Gama Sutra, and I wrote a piece about it, and I was up late last night writing it, like pouring through hours of Fraps videos to find like quotes to cite in the story. It really felt like I was doing some weird like review of embedded journalism where I'm going through all this like footage and screenshots and photographs and shit. It was pretty weird. It was a weird thing to write.
That's kind of cool.
It's weird writing about like MMOs from that perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of cool.
No, it was cool. It was a fun thing to do. I'm glad I did it.
Sweet. Yeah. Have you guys got anything else you want to do? Reader mail, or is there...
Oh, I want to quickly throw out a mention of a game that I've been kind of playing off and on for the DS called The Chase, Felix Meets Felicity.
Man. Oh, yeah.
It's nobody is going to play this game
because of the box art.
Shame. Well, because of the box art, because I literally haven't seen anyone mention
it. The visual style of the game also
anywhere.
Just looks like a game that isn't as cool as it is.
Yeah, everything about the game looks like it's like some budget shovelware marketed for like 7-year-old girls.
Yeah.
Basically everything about it except the gameplay. Is
watching
that.
A gameplay video of it though is pretty exciting.
It's like it's a side-scrolling 2D sprite-based platformer that is sort of like in between Sonic and like Kirby Canvas Curse on the DS. Have you guys played that?
Yeah, it reminded me of Kirby.
Yeah, which was one of my absolute favorite DS games. And basically, you run across this, you run from point A to point B, just like a straight line. Then there's sort of other, like as in Sonic, other sort of little angles you can go through that will give you like extra shit you can pick up.
Right, or your guy sort of grinds on stuff and that sort of thing.
Your guy can
grind
through stuff on stuff, pick up speed, and like you could draw lines on the screen to sort of surf up through the air to get to areas that you couldn't just jump to, for example. It's really cool. It's a little frustrating. It's definitely a game that could have used some more just iteration on just sort of tuning out some of the just little weird things that occur, like when you get hit by a guy and you go into classic platformer invincible mode where your guy blinks after getting hit, you can't actually harm any guys in that mode, which means sometimes you can't get away from the guys until you become solid again, by which point you're already right in the path to get down. Like, it's just a little tiny shit like that. And if you can just kind of get past those little things, the core gameplay is pretty unique. I mean, there's no other game with these mechanics. And I just want to mention it. Razorback Developments is the company that did it. They do a lot of contract stuff for hire. And it's, I imagine it probably was tough for them to get like a completely original IP out, like with their branding on it. And I don't know. It seems like the type of thing that would be, if you might like a crazy, weird, like stylus enhanced platformer on the DS,
high speed platformer.
People should definitely like YouTube a video, because I mean, that will sell it.
Right.
I mean, it sold me.
Yeah we'll try and post a YouTube of it in the thread.
Oh, have you played it, Nick?
No. I will buy it.
You
though.
Saw the videos, and it's enough. Like, it's one of those things that I haven't played DS in a long time, but when you showed me that video, I was like, oh, sweet. I'm going to play that, and I'm going to play GTA Chinatown Wars.
Yeah,
and
my
DS will be really used for the first time in a year.
Yeah, but the trailer looks great.
Yeah.
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 Cool.
Yeah. Sweet handheld thumbs.
Oh, yeah. We can do some reader mail.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sweet. Let's read a mail.
Read a mail.
Read it. Oh, I didn't print any out.
And now some stuff we made up.
We'll be back in a minute.
Dear Idle Thumbs.
How come you're the best podcast? Stop saying rape all the time.
Oh, snap.
Reader mail.
All right. Yeah. So I printed some of it out. I didn't do that before.
Nice.
Yep. All right. Here we go.
I'm starting.
ATN writes, hey guys, I love your podcast and really enjoy your witty banter and critical analysis of everything gaming related.
Our critical mouth?
What a retard.
My analysis skills aren't very good when they come to words. On your latest podcast, you mentioned flight simulators, and although I really like those, I enjoyed the TIE Fighter series and the Free Space series as well, Free Space 2 being the last great space simulator. The Nick might...
That sounds like a magazine ad quote. Free Space 2, the last great space simulator, IGN.com.
IGN.com. They actually said that about Viva Pinata. It was weird. The TIE Fighter series always stood because of the complexity of the game for 1994. Adjusting your shields and thrusts, all the secret missions for the Emperor you did. I miss those kind of games. I also like the Mercenary one, Privateer or MechWarrior 2 Mercenaries, and its RPG-like elements with random missions. I know today's games have similar structure, but they seem either overly complex like the Armored Core series or too dumbed down. I'd like to know your thoughts on these types of games. Are the space combat games also dead? I don't count the random console shooters like Hawks. What about the random What about the random mission elements in games? I remember in some games I had a real sense of the progress of the character or story, but in others I feel the random missions are superfluous at best. Anyway, sorry about the long email. Love the podcast on my face. It's always a good time. ATN, I'm French Canadian. It's pretty great. Jake's been chuckling to himself.
The thing about character development in these, it's not actually about the exact games that he was talking about, but one thing that we always end up talking about in design meetings at Telltale is how in the Wing Commander games you'd get thrown in the brig for blowing a mission, but then you'd go and look at the at like the kill board in the lobby, or you know, in the cantina, and it's like your guy 500 billion kills and all the wingmen like two. That guy got one time when you were slacking off, but if you blow one thing and it's like you're fucking out of here, like what? I'm single-handedly winning this war. So that's character development in Wing Commander games.
Yeah
It's funny that you mentioned that, because I remember this due to just Wikipedia having the potential to sort of suck away time by giving, sort of putting you in a weird, horrible spiral of never-ending information connections. I ended up reading about like sort of ace baron status and all that shit, like all the fighter ace, like if you're an official fucking fighter ace and all that shit. Yeah. And after playing games like TIE Fighter as a kid and stuff like that, it was like, you're a confirmed ace when you get 5 kills or something. Right. And I'm like, fucking 5 kills? I do that for like a training mission and TIE Fighter. Like, it was really weird. Those games created a very skewed image in my mind. I mean, I don't know if the number's 5, but it was, you know, some number that is not like 500 or some ridiculous thing where it's like, that's, as someone who plays computer games, that's how you think of, you know, like flying dogfight battles. You're just fucking there shooting them down left and right, like fucking eating popcorn. Just left, there goes another one. That was a really
sobering George Lucas perspective.
And somehow I went my whole life without ever stopping to think maybe that's not what real flight combat is actually. Yeah. Like, I think probably if I had sat and thought about it, I would have realized, but I never actually did. I, you know, I just never thought about it.
Anyway, that's to this guy's question. This have guy's you got question. Anything to say? You, Nick, seem like the person who might say something.
It's the last great flight sim. Yeah. I don't think we're going to get another one as good. That's my opinion.
So you think it's dead and gone?
Buried? I think it actually is. Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know.
It's tough to answer, I think.
It is tough to answer. I mean, what we spoke about this a little bit last, you know,
people
podcast.
Still love,
but I mean,
sci-fi shit.
Like, people still love sci-fi shit.
Yeah, but they don't like trying.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, part of it's just a PC game. I don't know. I mean, you could do Free Space 2 on the console. You know, I mean, you could. But you wouldn't have a flight stick in your hand, and it wouldn't feel the same. And I think, you know, part of it, and he was sort of speaking to that, you know, part of the beauty of something like Free Space 2 was the story. I mean, it was actually a really well-told story. And I think more than just a straight-up flight sim mechanics or anything that's, you know, has gone by the wayside, I think that is something that is sort of lacking from a game like Hawks. You know, I mean, that's just clearly a cookie-cutter bullshit, you know, a bunch of, you know... I mean, that's just, all right, you know, you're going to go in and shoot some dudes. Like, that's the premise of that story. But, like, Free Space 2 is actually an interesting, you know, had an interesting frame. And, you know, the Star Wars games, you know, did some of that, too. I mean...
Well, some of them did. TIE Fighter did.
TIE Fighter did. Yeah, X-Wing Alliance was pretty decent.
The Star Wars games of that vintage, Dark Forces and X-Wing TIE Fighter, that's... They told far more interesting Star Wars stories than they had to.
Yeah.
For sure.
You know, probably not coincidentally, those... Well, some of those games, anyway, were made in the same building or at least, like, you know, with the same people who are actually making really good story-driven games. Like, I'm sure some of that leaked over to an extent. It's like, if you're at a company that actually puts an importance on that, it's more likely to occur.
Right,
like,
the guys who are
going to
be
Star
beating
Wars
up your game in the design review might be the same guys.
Like,
who,
they might not be the same guys designing it and writing all the dialogue, but, like, as a company, you've got that culture that sort of puts...
Anyway.
I think a lot of that's just now, like, if you were thinking of a game with a good... I mean, I don't know. I guess I could see a story that is as good as some of those games were being made into an RPG, in other words. I think that
even a shooter these days.
That genre, yeah, shooters, RPGs, but I don't think if people had a good concept for a game, they wouldn't go, hey, we should make a flight sim out of that. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just the throwaway genre now. It's like, you know,
well,
it's just...
The same with real-time, it's like the same with real-time strategy. Like, I'm playing Dawn of War 2, and as much as that game is awesome and I love it and I'd recommend it like on just immediately, you know, the story is so stupid.
Do you think that's one of the aspects of games? I'm always sort of concerned about this, that that evolved out of the genre accidentally. Like, I mean, over time, that aspect where, like, it's not something that the community was vocal about. It's not something that people reported as being the reason they bought the game, but it might have secretly actually been one of the things that...
I think so.
You come for the core mechanics, you stay for the fact that it's actually
engaging, 10 years later, everyone talks about that on a forum. But maybe at the time,
it was like, wow, you're fighting this big spaceship. Right. You know, but, and then they did that in Rogue Squadron with, you know, a sort of cookie cutter story, and people were like, wow, you're fighting spaceships. But
I know,
you can almost trace the decline of flight sims.
Someone, I think, on the Shack actually made a comparison between, it was like, in 1993, the Star Wars, like, fly around and shoot stuff game was TIE Fighter. Now it's fucking Rogue Squadron.
Well, I mean, like, the Rogue Squadron series was just the steady decline, you know? I mean, it was just, even, like, the first game was not bad, but it slowly became this series where it was, like, almost like a sports game, where they were doing the same types of things over and over again. You know, Rogue Squadron 2, Rogue Squadron 3, and, you know,
but, I mean,
it was
also
all just throwaway bullshit.
In the X-Wing series, there's, like, you see sides of the universe that you'd never seen before. You're sort of uncovering or creating crazy conspiracies that, and then in
TIE Fighter is all about that stuff.
Yeah,
that's rad.
And but then in
I played TIE Fighter before I saw Star Wars, and it helped. No, I mean, it helped.
I know. I think you've said this before.
Yeah, it was just cool that I didn't need to already be a huge fucking
right.
Fan
but then
of Star
Rogue
Wars,
Squadron
though.
Is bullseye 20 womp rats in Beggar's Canyon. Shoot the Death Star.
Here's a really good example, Independence War. I don't know if you guys have played that at all.
No,
we have not.
It's more or less, I mean, that game, I'm trying to remember. I think there was a mission structure in the sense that, you know, you were completing sections of the game. I'm pretty sure there were optional missions, but within each mission, you were actually warping around a universe, you know, like hyperspeed or whatever, going between different points. And it was almost set up like an RPG. You would get to a point, there would be dialogue things, and it was just this open world type, you know, flight sim kind of, you know, interesting thing with decent stories and side quests and things like that, or at least side stories that weren't pertaining to the overall, like, save the world mission. And just, like, random stuff like aliens. It was kind of like the fallout of flight sims in a way. I could see something like that coming back. But I don't. It would have to be something like a Fallout 3 type situation where, you know,
somebody would have to really care and make a big deal out of what they were doing.
And the problem is, I don't know what series you would. You certainly wouldn't see them, you know, doing like an Independence War 3. So I mean, I think Free Space was maybe big enough to bring back, but maybe I don't know.
I have to say this. I'm going to make a statement that is extremely contentious and possibly stupid, and maybe you guys can just say I'm retarded right off the bat, but it does seem...
I don't know if I'd use that word.
You might. But it does seem like there was, and I'm speaking as someone who, and I talk a lot about playing PC games in the 90s because that's what I did in the 90s, but like it does seem like there was a certain tradition that was sort of connected to your LucasArts, your Looking Glass Studios, your Origin Systems, all those studios that really a big part of sort of their mandate was to try to tell really interesting stories across pretty much every conceivable genre. Like, there was no notion in those days on the PC that story, even the adventure game, which was sort of the story genre, was not exclusive to that at all. Like, an RPG or a shooter, which were early shooters in those days, or a space sim, or like any, like a crazy simulation game, the only exception being pure sandbox games, pretty much all of those kind of strong PC genres were made by those, like some or other of those companies, with multiple examples of really interesting in-depth stories that were, and I don't think there was an analog to that on the consoles that I know of. Like, I don't really think on like the SNES there was that equivalent, or like on the PlayStation.
Consoles
so much
tried to get I think console games that were notable for anything of that type were console games that evoked similar feelings through core mechanics. I mean, like, obvious example is Zelda and Metroid.
Right.
Which have nothing to do with story, but they... You know what I mean?
But that's a different...
The traditional...
Yeah.
I know,
but
I mean...
That's more what the console was.
I know,
I'm not
trying to say that they're doing the same thing, but I mean...
Yeah, but I was going to sort of... I always thought of the consoles as being more cutscene driven with the stories, but like, I mean, when you think about the PlayStation, that's what that was all about. It was a, like
right.
that brought in like so many
the crown jewel of stories on consoles is what, Japanese RPGs, right?
Which, well, in those days it was, yeah, right. Well, which, yeah, is even a pretty terrible way to tell a story.
Metal Gear Solid cutscenes or Ares dying in Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I mean that's Ares, yeah.
Or Ares, whatever.
Oh,
well, I just snap. I don't know, Ares, God of War. I don't know. It's, that's, yeah, you know.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Just saying. But yeah, no, and I feel like that. There are certain strengths that each of those mediums had as separate, like console and PC. Like, Jake, when you bring up, for example, Metroid, like some of the atmosphere in Metroid, that stuff was amazing. And it was out. A lot of it was because that game wasn't actually telling the big ambitious story that, right, a lot of those PC developers were doing. And it allowed them to just really hone in on a mood. And I kind of miss the days when the two different types of game development had those. Like, these days, now there really isn't, with the exception of crazy niche genres like hardcore simulations and strategy games, which are still mainly on the PC, and then certain genres that are mainly still on the consoles, like, yeah, platformers and stuff, things are a lot more just kind of blurred between the two, and it doesn't seem like there's as much drive to really explore those two avenues to the same, like, really amazing degree there, mm-hmm, was in the 90s on respectively PCs and consoles. Like, I really do not see very many games in that mentality being made on the PC at all. And right, they're not being made on the console instead. Like, they're just not being made. And it's too bad. Like, it's really too bad. Like, TIE Fighter, there really is nothing like that now. Like, it's interesting that I don't know if that game is considered too complicated or what. Like, it's definitely, when I think about playing it, at the time, it seemed like I was doing a lot of shit. I'm like, I was diverting my shields.
Yeah,
I was,
there's a lot of shit, like, going on.
But it didn't ever feel overwhelming. Like, that game, I mean, you guys all played TIE Fighter, right?
Yeah, we were like 12 years old, though. I mean, you could learn a, you know, fucking instrument when you're 12 pretty easily. But if you're 30 years old and you're trying to, like, fucking readjust your shields and shit, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
I guess. I really don't. I mean, maybe.
I mean, even now,
that
today,
really,
I'll.
Sad, if that's true.
Well, I think it is. I think it is to a degree.
You think you're teaching an old dog new tricks?
Well, I think it would be difficult for older gamers to. That's an increasingly large demographic.
I think people are less willing to accept that stuff as you get older. You just look and go, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
When you're 12, it's like, sweet, I can control a shield.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
yeah,
that does,
yeah,
go to what we were saying before. It's like, I could be playing God of War and it'll just tell me to press the X button.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think that is connected.
I'm going to say a thing that is probably stupid, so bear with me. Because it's probably actually inaccurate the more I think about it. But when I think about PC game developers in the 90s, I sort of do think of them existing sort of in a weird vacuum where they are churning out product that people are buying, but they never really, up until probably when the PlayStation came out and they sort of started merging in with the more mainstream world and porting games left and right, I don't think that they... You know, they didn't exist in sort of the public sphere the same way that, like, games or the new movies do now, or that, like, Super Mario did.
Well, a lot of the bigger ones were independent too, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. There were,
like,
but
the ones I mentioned.
But that's sort of. I mean, that sort of plays to what I was going to say. Is, I mean, it feels like there are these sort of little groups of dudes in secret game caves making things. And one of the things when you're talking about story, and that's actually where I was trying to go with all this, was back to what you were talking about with those developers sort of successfully infusing story into all of their things. And I wonder if that was a weird cave version of games as film. And that probably, that's the part that sounds dubious, but it's one of those, God, it's so hard to explain what I'm talking about. But you know how sort of when you try to take a stab at something, but you don't actually know how it's done, and then you end up making something that's either a million times more ambitious or comes at it from such a different angle that it ends up...
The Citizen Kane of games.
No, not that. I mean, like, when these people were thinking about, okay, games are going to evolve.
Oh.
They're going to be, we've got to infuse them with story. How do they do that?
Right.
And then you come up with this completely amazing thing that has nothing to do with anything.
The Three Mile Island game or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, or you end up with stuff like Thief or like,
where it's like,
or
we're
Free
make a stealth
Space.
Game. Maybe
the experimental phase of game development.
Right. But I mean, at this point, game developers are so in the public limelight. Their games are games are owned by huge entertainment conglomerates.
Yes,
they at this point, unfortunately, know how a movie is made, and they know how narrative in that way works, and they know all this bullshit that you shouldn't actually know if you want to make a good story.
Yeah,
and I mean, I think that's part of it. Is it's not people.
Depressing.
There are not studios that are just operating in a complete vacuum, saying, "I wonder what a story in a game would be. Maybe it's this amazingly weird, you know, completely original invention that I thought of completely independent of some VP telling me, no, he's the chosen one. You know, right. I mean,
yeah.
It's probably not actually, I started it by saying it's them trying to do movies, but I think that that is kind of, you know, there was all that talk of games growing up and, you know, people did start doing all this sort of weird narrative stuff. I don't know.
Regardless of platform that's stuff, I think Jake is onto something as far as the experimental phase, you know? I mean, I think there was a time when, you know, how do we, you know, what are we going to do to, you know, kind of appeal to an audience? And, you know, obviously a story is something that's pretty basic that you would think is something that's necessary. You know,
people got that far and it made sense. And then at that point, the next step is just some weird guy's like, you know what would be cool? This. It's like, right. That's cool.
Yeah.
Having that weird, like, sort of semi-invisible bubble that was big enough that there were enough people to sell these games to, but not quite so big that you had to, you know, that everyone was sort of getting consolidated in larger publishers and selling,
right,
needing to sell 5 million copies on a big AAA Christmas game. Probably that in-between point was allowed what you guys were talking about with right. that sort of like, we're going to make a game that fucking does this and it's this genre. Like, how do you do that?
We should make a special called the AAA Christmas.
A very AAA Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah. The Idle Thumbs Christmas special.
Yeah. It's not about cars, though.
No. So that's what we think about TIE Fighter.
And that's our show.
Yeah, you guys want to do one more or are we done? That was like a half hour answer.
We have
yeah.
to do
Oh, was, right. We, the Jay Hallard sex
yeah,
scandal.
Oh, my God.
We really have to do that. Yeah. Okay, so Jake and I, quite a while back, heard a weird rumor about Jay Allard, like a very vague rumor about Jay Allard. Didn't we hear this like years ago?
I remember hearing something shady, but I also remember, yeah, who knows?
We heard something weird about why Jay Allard was not.
I think all we heard was that there might be a weird reason, and I don't know if we heard any more details.
Well, there was definitely an implication that it was sexual in nature of some type.
Okay.
So anyway, like Jay Allard, as anyone who like, you know, follows enough stupid game stuff to understand this podcast knows, was once a lot more present and like.
Yeah, he gave the Microsoft keynote sort of unveiling the whole Xbox 360 HD era community microtransactions stuff. That was at GDC 05 or something?
Yeah, I don't even remember. Yeah.
And like, so he was the voice of the 360. Yeah.
Almost overnight, he sort of just like disappeared out of the public eye and was sort of like put in like some other segment.
He was put in charge of the Zune, but you didn't really hear him talking about it.
Exactly. And so we have some further explanation of this from an anonymous source who we know, but we're not going to divulge his identity here.
I don't know who this person is. Anyway.
Okay. Well, that's okay. I do. Some quick backstory on where this came from. So he says, working on one of the very early Xbox Live Arcade titles, there were Microsoft producers assigned to each game to help us through the console's development, since the console itself was still under development. They would work on multiple games at a time and keep things on track on the Microsoft side, making sure we were meeting milestones, getting the game through the certification process, etc. They were actually an awesome team, and it's sad to see none of them are still there after the Greg Kinesa nuclear meltdown vaporized everything. That's a super duper insider reference there, Jesus. So fast forward now to GDC 2 years after the game shipped. I was catching up with one of these now ex-producers who had since moved on to a new gig. The subject of Jay Allard came up and his meteoric makeover and rise to Xbox fashion model and spokesman, and then his X-Files-like disappearance. He filled me in on the unofficial rumor around Microsoft about what had happened. Apparently, there was a secret group sex circle / partner swap thing going on up at Microsoft. No joke. Jake is an amazing face. Not some crazy porno gangbang, but more like couples on shag rugs, wife swapping, swingers parties, and so on. It had gotten to be about 25 to 30 people and involved staff from all levels, including secretaries to executives to developers. So
just put your gamer tag in the basket when you come in.
Yeah, they're projected up onto the wall.
Oh my God.
Like all parties, eventually it came to an end when a lot of sexual harassment suits were filed, and it became obvious that this thing existed unknown to some of the Microsoft higher-ups. Names were named, but it was all very hush-hush and hidden internally because it was embarrassing due to the fact that it was formed completely out of Microsoft employees. I think there was a lawsuit essentially settled out of court, but not sure about that. So Jay Allard was apparently involved in this sex group, and when it got back to a few marketing executives, I suppose a bad case of head explodeitis got around. Big old Jay Allard was quickly shelved into a quiet spot out of the public eye, and that is when Peter Moore appeared on the scene as the new public spokesman. Sincerely, the dude wailing on his axe in the sunset with a top hat.
Peter Moore is a sex circle still to be uncovered. Yeah,
yeah. Now that Peter Moore is over at EA, his statute of limitations is up. On his own personal Microsoft.
If Redwood Shores isn't rocking.
Yeah. So that was a cool thing.
That was a cool thing.
Sweet!
That was a cool, weird right.
And on that
thing
note,
for someone to say. Yeah. Someone also wrote in to mention the new Flashbang Studios game. The underwater game. What's it called again?
I always want to say Blurst because that's the name of their site.
Blurst.
I feel terrible. I was watching a trailer of it today.
We're all horrible.
I can't think of it now.
Oh, Blush.
Blush. There we go. Yeah, it's like Blurst.
So those guys released a new game, Blush on Blurst.
Yeah.
It looks pretty cool. It looks sort of like an underwater thing with sort of the mechanic from Velociraptor's Safari in that you swing a tail.
You grab eggs and swing them into a catcher thing. Yeah.
So Malcolm Crum wrote in to remind us about that. Thanks, guy. Also, we got someone from ModDB.com read into us about a mod called the Nameless Mod for Deus Ex that talks a lot about kind of the open-ended stuff we were talking about last week, and I think we're pretty much out of time at this point, but ModDB is a cool site. They also, I just want to mention also on my own, that they released their Mod of the Year awards a few days ago, and the top one went to Project Reality, which is a Battlefield 2 mod, and Mountain Blade got a couple also.
Sweet.
Yep. People keep saying we should check that out, and I keep forgetting.
Mountain Blade?
Mountain Blade, yeah. You don't like it?
I don't know. It's for those Total War guys.
Like you?
No, I mean the guys who are complaining about the...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
About cannons not being right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
So that's the show.
Sweet. The sirens are telling us we need to turn it off.
Yeah, that's the air raid. Time to get out of here. I'm so tired.
Fiction!
Yay! All right.
Sweet.
Out of thumbs.
Baboo.
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 Video game.
And now it's time for Retard Retread. Redo a piece of shtick from a previous episode. I really like when you guys dumped on the PS3. Could you do that again? Thanks.
Honk.